You guys remember how I said I hate bringing a tablet or a computer up to preach off of? Well, our Wi-Fi is down because the battery in the phone went bad, and the Wi-Fi runs the communication from my computer to the printer. So I said, no worries, we'll get a new battery, but I'll just bring my laptop up. We've decided that right now is the perfect moment for an update. I want it noted that I am always right. What's that? I'm not entirely sure that with me he always needs to be present for this kind of nonsense, but man. But tonight we will be talking about how to behave, or more importantly, how not to behave in church. I have over the last few months have had to say most often to myself, that's not what a church is for. There have been many things that have happened. I'll get phone calls. Hey, listen, we'd like to come on by. We'd like to do a ladies' Bible study and present some solutions. Okay? No. Hey, would it be okay if we came by? We are in serious need of money. We would like to come by. Okay, well, why don't you come by Sunday morning? We'll talk afterwards. Oh, no, we will be very busy. Can we stop by after the service? Very little I can do for that. We'll get phone calls. Hey, what time are you guys doing trunk or treat? Actually, the question I got that bothered me the most was, are you participating in trunk or treat this year? Like, trunk or treat is a long-standing tradition, and we have abandoned it somehow. Like, almost like guilt is implied. Are you participating? No, we're not participating. I felt as though somebody asked me, will you be donating to the ASPCA today? Are you going to cooperate with this or no? That is not what a church is for. Can we do things within the church that edify people, that build them up, that have fun? Why, yes, we are not above a little cake and ice cream. We are not above some dodgeball in the basement. We are not above some fun and frivolity out there on the church grounds. We do that all the time. But is it what a church is for? The answer, of course, is no. We are not here to entertain. We are not here to demonstrate that we're here so we can get people to come and look at us. I have seen all of these tactics that have been played out by other churches to get people's attention, to bring them in. And all they ever end up doing is entertaining them for a while, giving them a little bit of what they want, and then those people move on. Their activities, they're best used for marketing ploys and campaigns and things like that. This is not what a church is for. We must treat the house of God with respect, with dignity, and with honor. From the way we do the work in the building, we should treat the building with respect and honor. You know, every now and then I'll walk around and I'll see cobwebs and things like that and go grab a broom and knock those down. Why? This is the house of God. We'll see issues over here. You know, every now and then it happens a lot in the windows, right? In those window wells, we'll get bugs. Now, Gideon does a good enough job of trying to go get those bugs, catching them, putting them in one of Brother Dennis's tic-tac things, and taking them home and feeding his pet frog with them. But sometimes they die. Frog don't like dead ones, and we've got to go clean them up. Why? It's the house of God. We ought to have love, and we ought to have respect for God's house. We ought to be able to come in and say, this is the best we can give God. And when we act as a church, when we act within this building, it needs to be in a way that brings God honor and glory. Join me, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul writes to Timothy, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now we know that this building is not the church. We know that. However, what takes place within this building is the work of God. This building is sanctified unto Him. This building is not a place for teenagers to come and have a date in the parking lot. It is not for a workman to come and have their lunch there. I'll tell you what, I love it when the police come by every now and then. The cops will see me here. They'll pull through. They'll sit over there. They'll eat their lunch. They'll do their paperwork. I don't mind them being there. Feels a little bit safer being there. But when I've got people coming in off the street just to hang out in the back and try to meet another car, that's not dignified. That ain't right. This is the house of God, and it ought to be treated as such. We use it for His purpose. We use it for His work and for no other reason. Look at this verse 15 again. In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Now there are just some things you don't mix together. Am I right? Some things you don't mix together. Would you ever sit there and, I don't know, wash your rug in the same wash basin you're washing your dishes in? Not at the same time, right? Not at the same time. I had a lady, she was doing her dishes, and she was washing her wig. She had her wig over here, she had her dishes over here. All fun and games till someone cuts the garbage disposal on. She sat there, she said, I'll give you $50 if you can get it out of there. And I said, that ain't worth my time. There ain't no way to get that out of there. That lives there now, my friend. That ain't coming back out. And I wasn't just being mean and uninterested. That ain't coming out. We don't mix things together like that, do we? You don't clean the cat boxes while you're cooking your dinner. You don't mix those things together. Listen to me. There's things we don't bring into the house of God. I'm not believing that these woods and these planks have mystical purpose, but it is the building we have sanctified and set apart for the Father and for the worship of God in all three parts. We must treat this building as though it belongs to God because it does. This is the church house, the house of God. We cannot have certain things happen in and around this building. This building is His. The fixtures are His. We must be very careful in how we use the items within the house of God. Our actions must be honorable, which means that there are many things that we will not allow. I've experienced this. We've had funerals in the last little bit, and we haven't really had issues with this. But one of the things that I do, I say, hey, listen, there's things during the service that cannot happen here. I've gone to weddings that didn't take place inside churches because the pastor has said, if you're going to do that, you can't do that in here. And I think that's fine. The laws and rules that God has given us must always be upheld in this house. They should always be upheld, period. There should be no distinction. Kids used to do that on the van. Oh, you lied at church? Well, lies a lie no matter where you tell her, but I appreciate the respect. Appreciate the respect for the building. But sin is sin no matter where it is. But it is even more so deplorable when we do it right here in a place where that should be consecrated, a place that should be separated unto God. So there are a few behaviors, a few actions that must never, should never be the purpose or the desire or the activity of the church. Number one, the church is not for entertainment. We are not here to entertain. We are here to teach, to edify, to be the pillar or ground of the truth, but we are not here to entertain. What do I mean by that? There's a lot of community churches, and that is their desire to have a good time with the community. And they'll sit there and say, well, this is engagement. This is good. But you come around those things. There is no gospel. There is no invitation to come to the church. We're just going to hand out free churros and water bottles with our church our service times on there, and just pray that God does the work from there. They will not hear without a preacher. It means somebody's got to speak. But the problem is, it's very hard to get people to come to a Bible conference. It's very hard to get the community to show up to a revival. So we'll have fairground games, and we'll have this big activity day to have people come on in. I've seen those churches like you and me. You know what they do? They'll come for the fun. They'll come one time, hear what the preacher has to say, and they'll go. If they come at all, what brings them in will be what gets them to stay. When they come in and they find out that we stand by the truth and it's not all party streamers and free cake, they'll change. So you know what we do? We don't present free cake. We don't present bouncy houses and things like that for why you should come to our church. Come to our church. No dress code. Come to our church. This is how we view marriage. Come to our church. This is how we view the LGBT, the sodomite community. Hey, come to our church. This is how it is. That's not what we do. We present the truth. And the Holy Spirit does the rest. Well, I don't know. Your church is looking pretty bare. It is never the purpose for me to make sure the pews don't float away. It is the purpose of this church to preach and teach the truth. And if the Lord adds he's done it before, he could do it again. But the church is not for entertainment. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. Wait, so there's ways that we could come together as a church that wouldn't be for the better, but could be for the worse? Absolutely, and we've studied this before. Verse 18, for first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat in and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. They were getting together. They were bringing their food from the outside. They were getting together for reasons that weren't the Lord's Supper and calling it the Lord's Supper. And in many ways, people get together and they call it ministry. And no real ministry is done. We used to have this Catholic, it was a Lutheran church down there at Flat Rock. And they would have a big community festival. And people would come to the community festival. And you could go and they had dunk tanks and they had raffles and giveaways. Everything you'd get at a fair. And of course, because it was a Lutheran church, big old beer tent out there. We're German, that's fine. And they would have that beer tent out there. And people would come and they would go to that. And they said, we just want to be a shining light to the community we are in. What are you shining a light on? Now let's take the beer tent out of the equation for a second. Let's just say you're having a good old-fashioned time. Are you really doing ministry? Is there anybody out there giving the gospel? Listen, we go to county fairs. You go to county fairs. I go to county fairs. I'll go to this one. I'll go to that one. I'll see what's going on. My dad, he likes to do this. He likes to go. There's this guy, Bayou Billy's. My dad loves Bayou Billy. And because my dad likes it, guess what? I like it. I'll be honest with you, I could probably do a little bit better in my own kitchen for a whole lot cheaper. But being able to go with my dad means the world to me. I don't mind a good county fair. We had the Apple Fest downriver. We had places like that. Things you could go to that. Could I not do that outside of the church? Because I tell you what, the church is for a particular purpose. We don't waste it. We don't waste our coming together for frivolity like that, for silliness like that. There's no gospel being preached there. There's no leading people to Christ. There's no edification. We're just opening the doors for people to come to the church, have a cheap, good time, and then go. We try to do things that churches aren't supposed to be about. Now, are there things that we can get together and do? Absolutely. But we should never be sitting there trying to be the entertainment source for the community. Our job, our goal, our duty is the Word of God. I've seen some churches, they do open potlucks. Hey, what we'll do is we'll cook up a bunch of spaghetti, invite the community to come out. Now, we don't want to put the gospel down their throat because they'll make them uncomfortable. So what you have is a bunch of people who come into the church, eat a free meal, and go home. Now, hey, if your goal is to feed the hungry, I got you. Jesus would support that. But if your goal is to bring people in and have community engagement, not outreach, you're doing wrong. You're doing wrong. Well, we just want to see how many people we can get back there. We want to see how many people we can get in. No, we present the gospel. If we are to feed someone, their greatest need goes far beyond just a full belly in the moment. They have needs. We need to engage properly. We don't do, and that is a big thing. If you look at a lot of these articles and a lot of the things that I get, especially since I've started as a pastor and some of my information's been on our website, I get a lot of information like that now. 5 tips to grow your church. 15 tips to grow your church. 20. There was one, it was 30. And all the same, it calls this, it says, community engagement. Community engagement. It's different than outreach because it's low pressure, they say. You see, if you just spring the gospel, if you spring doctrine on them, it'll scare them away. I'm like, so what am I supposed to do? Just kind of whittle them into it? I just hey, get them to show up for enough things, and before they know it, oops, they're a member of the church. Maybe if I keep them around long enough, they'll trip into salvation. That's not what we do. Again, there's feeding the hungry, and then there's outreach, and then there's this, that base entertainment, that silliness. So fairs, festivals, things like that, that is not what a church is there for. We can have those things. I'm not saying those things are inherently evil. We could go. Hey, state fairs in town, or they're having this art festival over here. Hey, I love a good art festival. Let's go. But I'm not going to have one here. We're not going to make that part of our quote-unquote ministry. Why? Because it don't minister to nobody. Doesn't do any good. I like to have fun. You like to have fun. I like to have fun in God's house. That ain't the kind of fun we need to be focusing on here. We've got better things to be doing, more important things. There are missionaries doing work that could use money that could be wasted away on clowns and balloon twisters and bouncy houses and things like that. There's work the church needs to do within itself here that those things could go to instead of giving it away to cotton candy machines and cheap rides built by people who make $9 an hour. There's better things. Better things to focus on. If a church had $1 billion, it would still not be enough to do all the things that need to be done in this world. We cannot waste it, not our energy. And we talk about money, but let's look at our time. Let's look at our energy. We need to be putting it towards things that matter, towards things that edify, towards things that teach, not silly amusements. We are not here for the expression of secular holidays. We're coming up on it, aren't we? Hey, Santa Claus is coming to First Self-Righteous Church of the Refrigerator. This day and that day. And the kiddies all come in. And the deacons and ushers are handing out candy canes. And some of the women in the children's ministry are dressed up as elves. And they bring out the pastor or the youth pastor. Oh, 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 oh. And then now make sure you pray tonight. Ho, ho, ho. We don't do that. Hey, this Easter, do you guys do an Easter egg hunt? Also, do you help with this? Do you help with that? My kids really need to go to an Easter egg hunt, and I'd rather them go to a church. No, we don't do that. Well, what's a church for then? Not that. Isn't that what you churches do? You need to start coming to church. Figure out what we do. Figure out what we're for. We are not for the expression of random holidays. Now listen, do we have our fellowships around there? Yes, we do. Why? Because it edifies God's people. But it is not a marketing ploy. It is not a get people nice and acclimated to the building. Almost like we've bought a new goldfish and we're trying to get it used to the tank before we cut it loose. We want to get it used to the temperature first, and then we start preaching the doctrine. No! We are what we are, and that is what God commands us to be at every single moment. We don't hide what we are. We don't try to sidestep what we are. We don't put on a false face. We're not here for egg hunts. All right, go buy some chickens. Let them loose in your yard. Go find them. We're not here for Santa Claus. I may have a beard, but you ain't going to see me dyeing it gray. It's kind of doing it on its own, though. But you ain't going to get me in that suit. It's not going to happen. Why? It's not what churches ought to do. It's not what churches do. Or I think about those people. Are you guys participating in trunk or treat? No. No. Do what every smart person does. Buy the candy the day after. And I do for some of these things that the world does, some of the more pagan things that the world does, and they look over at me for not doing them in my house, they feel as though I'm abusing my children. My poor children who never get any candy, Brother Dennis, Grandma, Nana, ladies of this church, my poor suffering kids, our poor suffering kids, we don't get no candy. We don't get this, we don't get that. I've even had one person, you don't let your kids believe that Santa Claus is real? And they look at me like I've hurt them somehow, like I've ruined their adulthood. Well, you do know that Amelia Earhart's parents didn't let her have any of those things, and look how she turned out. That was a relative of mine hit me with that doozy. I go, well, I can't see how she turned out. Nobody knows how she turned out. I could actually make a lot of money if I knew how she turned out. That's not what we're for. This is the house of God. We don't pick up the theme. We don't go along with what the rest of the world is doing. There will never be a throne for Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, the Great Pumpkin, whoever, to come and sit upon, for the people to come and go, oh, isn't that sweet? This house belongs to one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of this church. He is the one we come for. He is the one we celebrate for. Wouldn't it seem out of place anywhere else? So we're not here for the expression of secular holidays, although we will express some every now and then. We will, but it's not our purpose. We're not here for random play. We think of all these Sunday school classes that are wasted on pop videos and entertaining games and what they would call icebreakers. I heard of a church and their Sunday school teacher was talking about how they've had great success because they start every Sunday school class with icebreakers. It's a 45-minute Sunday school class. They spend 20 minutes or so on just the icebreakers, and the kids love it. Just little games that they'll play there. So there's 20 minutes out of 45 gone. Leaves you what? 25. Five of which is either going to be settling the kids down or letting them clean up to go. Now we're down to 20, maybe 19, just depending on how rowdy the group is. Now if I have 45 minutes to teach the Bible, I need 45 minutes to teach the Bible. Right now I understand at different age ranges, but at a particular age, it ought to be about learning the Bible. And of course, there was that Kirby establishment down there, Flat Rock, letting the kids play Xbox during Sunday school. If they stood still and they were nice for the 10-minute Sunday school class, I kid you not, 10 minutes of teaching, they could play Xbox for the rest of the class. And that was something the church purchased. It wasn't just something one rogue teacher did. The church purchased Xboxes to let the kids play in the Sunday school class because it filled the vans. We're not here for video games. We're not here for pop videos. We're not here to sit there and connect with the culture in that way, to sit there and make pop references and speak in a street vernacular so we can seem hip and cool. I never cared if the kids thought I was hip and cool. I just cared if they understood, and that is what a teacher should do. Do you understand? Am I teaching it on your level? Do you get it? Am I too fast, too slow? Am I over-explaining it? Am I under-explaining it? That was my concern. Am I doing a good job in presenting this information to these individuals that I actually do care about? We're not here for the random playtime for Sunday school. We're not here for the large-scale toys. Those churches out there with espresso machines in the thing, and you go and you could pay $3 to get yourself a caramel macchiato and then come in and sit and sip your coffee while they're playing the rock music, and then the preacher will come on for 15 minutes, give you a cute little sermonette, and then you sit there and you go back off to your car finishing your macchiato and you go through life. I like that church. I even heard somebody say this. I like that church better than this church, because while I like this preacher, they have better coffee. That is deranged, isn't it? But it's real. We see some of these non-denominational ones. Well, they've got a bowling alley. Well, they've got this going on. There was one of these non-denominational franchises had themselves a 3 or 4 bumper cars in a little reeled off area. Looks more like a fun zone than anything else. That is not a church. That is a community gathering place. Well, we just put a putting green in ours. That is not what we are for. Now listen, we're okay with recreation here. I'm not changing what we've been doing. All right, the basketball hoop stays. All right, kids being able to play on Thursdays stays. But is that what the church is for? Mm-mm. Would we ever use it for advertising? No, because we don't advertise. We're a church. We preach the gospel. We don't have an advertising budget. We have outreach. We have things that we do. We have door hangers we hang up. We have cards that we pass out. But we are not here to purchase large-scale toys, to get the community to come in to play on our large-scale toys, hoping that the 10 minutes of preaching I do will actually mean something to them. I wonder, I can't say for sure, but I wonder if I were to walk into some of these establishments while the preaching is going on and wonder how many I would find still playing with the toys, with a bunch of wishy-washy people not yet able to develop the backbone to tell them to get off, for it is time for the most important thing we do all day. We see others that have formed into greater clubs. They got a lot of clubs over at this church. Man, you could do yoga, drop the kids off at karate. Then meanwhile, your wife can go on over. There's the book club over here. Over here's where this group from the community, they meet over here on this day. We do have a little bit of this common fad going on over here. You could learn this, you could learn that. What is a church for? It is not for your yoga, Pilates, karates, whatever. It is for the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Right? Hey, listen, there's plenty of places you can go around for that extra fun stuff. You like that? There's stuff out there you can do, good for the mind, good for the body. Go there. Go where they have it. Right? We'll get you hooked up with what you need to go do. You need to go for a walk. We got places to go for a walk. You want to read a book? Hey, I'll recommend you some books. But it does not happen in the house of God for the purpose of bringing people in. That's not what we do. It's not what we do. We are not for random clubs. You know what else we're not for? We're not for profit. We're not for profit. Broke my heart when I found that out about some of the funeral homes in the area charging our members money so they could give us a check to do something we would have gladly done for free. Even lying to me about it. Oh, yeah, no, that comes out of our end. All right, well, I'll do this with it, I'll do that with it. But no, they charged the family. One in particular just recently wouldn't give them the money back when I denied it. I know Brother Titus used to do that. He'd deny taking it. They keep that. So make sure, again, when you're putting things together, they know not to charge you, because we don't. We don't do that here. So going on again, we're not for profit. We're not here to be making money. We're not here to be for individual members to come in and make money off of us. That goes back to those people that make phone calls. Hey, listen, we would like to have a men's Bible study over at your church. And what we do is we like to have a financial Bible study, approaching finances from a biblical perspective. I ask 2 or 3 questions, and you know what I always find out? They're selling Bitcoin or something like that. Oh, you thought that was just for ladies getting into that kind of marketing. Oh, no. Men, they get into it too, but they're big shots of finance. I had one guy get insulting about it. He got upset about it, started insulting me. What, you don't want your men to be sound in financial doctrine? I go, are you selling imaginary coins? They're not imaginary. And he goes on with this blah, 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 blah. But it's imaginary. It's imaginary. Well, why does it have value? Because the internet says it does. Well, what happens if the internet moves on to something else? Well, then it goes down, and what you got to do is you got to sell that, and you got to, and we'll teach you how to do. No, thank you. Have a good day. Well, men ought to be men, and like almost like we're not men enough for not purchasing it. I'm sorry. Try that with some little boys, because there actually are men here. Go try that with some little boys. Well, you know, you go sit there and question the masculinity of somebody smaller. We know who we are. We know who we are. How about this? We want to get the ladies together. What are you selling? Well, it's not that we're selling anything. We're providing an opportunity. Don't come in here and pretend to be ministry then. Don't come in here and pretend to be ministry. You're not. Don't come in here and pretend to be a men's ministry when all you want is to get a following into something. We've even had people coming in that have come in that have visited. Their goal was to gain followers. Their goal was to get attention on some things. They don't come anymore. They wanted to meet with me, hang out with me, talk about some opportunities with me, some things that we could be doing, opportunity to get in front of the men and speak. No, thank you. And that's hard, because I'm concerned about their souls. I know what's best for, I think what's best for them is for them to submit to the Lord, become a member of a local New Testament Baptist church, quit church hopping to try to get people to buy your nonsense. Stop church hopping, hoping that you'll find yourself an open pulpit, if not an open pulpit, one you can chase people away from. I get nervous about visitors that immediately ask me if I'm full-time or not. You go to church somewhere, oh yeah, I know this doctrine, I know that doctrine. They've got a ton of religion, and the only question they have for me about our church is how I'm financially situated. Red flag. Red flag. How many members are here? What's the medium income for your church? Are you writing a book? What's wrong with you? I get some weird stuff on that telephone. Weird stuff. Now listen, that is not what we are not here to be made merchandise of. Mark 11:17, and he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And that's exactly what takes place. Oh, hey, you're a church. We've got this wonderful ministry opportunity for you guys to support. All we need is this much money up front, and then over a period of time, you buy into this, and these are the services that we will provide for your church, and you'll be linked up and networked in for a bunch of other churches. No, thank you. We are not here for your profit. We're not here to make one. We're not here to be one for you. We don't sell, we don't rob, we don't cheat, we don't sit there and change money, things like that. Not something we're here for. Every now and then we'll fall victim to people wanting what I call fake charity. If you were penniless, if your living situation was uncomfortable, and you didn't have a job, and you didn't know where your next meal was coming, what would be the most important thing you'd want? Job, advice, opportunities. Correct? That is what you need. You don't have a job. You don't have money. No money. No Libby. No Edie. Nothing. Right? What do you need? You need a job. You need work. That's your most important thing. But so often we get people come in, what do they want? They want about $10. $15, $20, depending on what sale the dispensary is given. Well, I tell you what, come on by the church. Why don't you come on inside? Ah, we're good. We'll come by later. Or I like the people that will call every now and then. They'll have a specific amount that they need. This is broken down. I need that. I'm over here at the hotel in order to stay for another week. I need X amount of dollars. Every now and then, they don't know this, but I'll call the hotel. How much it costs to stay there a week? You know what's weird about it? It's always like 50, 60 bucks less than what the person who was just on the phone told me they needed. It's weird. Now again, the church should feed people that are hungry. The Bible says so. Christ says so. We ought to feed people who are hungry. But on top of that feeding, what do we need? We need to provide their real needs. They need counsel. People who will sit there and are willing to talk to me on the phone, get themselves a bag of groceries from time to time. One guy actually showed up with the groceries. Surprised him. He goes, well, this is what I need. I got a special diet. I need chicken breast. I need vegetables. I need these specific things because other food I can't tolerate makes me real sick. And this is how much it costs at the store. And if you just show up with this much money, that's exactly what I'll do. I showed up with the chicken breast, the vegetables. I got you, buddy. You don't even have to go in that car that needs gas. I got two birds, one stone. He wasn't happy. Now here's the thing, if I'm hungry, and you show up with a bag of groceries, my jaw is on the floor, thank you, sir. When a church goes to help people like that, that's what we're after. Let me feed you, but let me give you counsel. Let me give you advice. Hey, there's some areas that are looking for hiring. I do that as somebody who answers that phone, somebody who gets those calls. I'm looking, who's hiring? Hey, have you tried over here? Have you tried over there? Hey, I saw this in the news. Did you think about going over there? And their response always tells me whether or not this is real charity or fake charity. Real charity, I'm all for real charity. I'm all for helping people that need it. I'm all for fixing this and buying you a bag of that, buying you a bag of chicken, whatever you need. No problem there. My problem comes when you need $15 here and then $15 there and then $15 here and then $15 there. You want to just have the church open up an account over there at the dispensary or at the liquor store. And we'll just get you loaded up every day. It's not what we're here for. We come across a hungry mouth, we feed it. I tell you what, if we were ever having a conference or a fellowship and somebody smelled the burgers coming and they came and they sat for the service, you better believe I'd have them walk out of here with a plate. And a little bit more than just a plate. I'd have a conversation with them. Hey, what can I do for you? How can I pray for you? Do you need a ride over at the rehab? What do you need? Just tell me what you need and we'll go for it. But some folks, they don't want that. They just want money. I've told you this before. What they were telling us to do during COVID to get people to get people help to pay for their rent is reach out to local churches to see what they're doing so you can have them call those churches to get money, because after all, that's what churches are for. That's what I was told in a meeting. I was almost asked to leave the meeting. That's what churches are for. That's not what a church is for. Is it something a church can do? Yes. Is it what a church is for? Uh-uh. Oh, they love it when we hand out cash. They love it when we help pay for the rent. They love those things, but don't you dare ask them to come on a Sunday when they're watching their cartoons that swear, when they're watching those make fun of God. Oh, who needs God? I'm smarter. I'm cleverer. But when the debit card stops working and the EBT card or the bridge card stops scanning and all of a sudden there's not enough gas in the tank and the dispensary won't cut you any more credit, all of a sudden we need the church. It's pathetic. We can do a lot to help people, provided what the people want is actual help. We cannot be a system. We cannot be a part of what keeps them in a bad place. I ain't going to give you 15 bucks so you can go buy liquor with it. I'll help you eat. I'll talk you through this thing. You know, and I've been able to talk to someone. This is what you got to do. Oh, yeah, you know, I really thought about that. Stop thinking about it. Go do it. Well, I'm not going to pass this test if I go do that. All right, well, this is the number you're going to call to get you to where you can pass that test. There you go. Michigan Works. If you ever get a relative that's in trouble, Michigan Works has great resources. They'll help you with almost everything you need. including hooking people up with rehab. It's a fantastic tool. Government pays for it. It's wonderful. My job is not to keep people in a bad place. It is to preach the gospel to them, to give them biblical guidance. But we should never sit there and persist on things. And I'll be honest with you, some of you have done it, I've done it too, where a little bit of money comes out of our hands. Why? Because we believe that there is a need there. I've met them, I've had people around here. There's a need there. There was a fellow right after Brother Tim hit that back area with poison. It wasn't this year, it might have been last year or the year before. The grass was dying because he hit it with that poison. And he leant there and he laid his head where he had sprayed the poison. This man that was coming around, it was the guy who was camping around here, put his head in that poison. I panicked. Sir, and he walked away with $20. You need to go get some food. You need to get that washed off. You can't be putting your head there. We'll take care of people. We ought to. We ought to feed the hungry. We ought to be charitable. We ought to be kind. As Brother Charlie brings up from time to time, you may be entertaining an angel unawares, as the scripture says. It's important for us to take care of folks. But it's not our purpose. It's not what we're here for. Something we should do. But it is not our purpose. And as a matter of fact, the more we give out without having people come in, the less we're going to be able to give out. They don't understand that. We get the socialistic point of view where every church and business has a money machine in the basement. Folks, I have looked in the basement. There's no machine. I don't know if y'all are hiding it on me, if it's behind a locked door, and you don't trust me with the key. I don't know, but I don't think it's down there. I've worked in other businesses that are supposed to just have trillions of dollars and always be making money to hand out to people. I haven't found the money-making machine down there either. And as a matter of fact, I often question, if they could just self-generate money, why would you even open the doors and bother selling stuff? People treated me like that when we were in the apartment industry. Well, you guys can afford it. As a matter of fact, we pay mortgages too. And we pay for repairs, especially the ones you guys make us do. Because you've gone in and shattered a window or broke a door or cut up the carpet or did this or did that. As a matter of fact, that's where all of our money goes. If we could just make our own money, we wouldn't even invite you to come over. Right? We would just have nice things. It is not the purpose, again, of the church to keep people in a bad place by giving them means to which to support their bad decisions. We're not here to rent space. Not for weddings, not for funerals, not for secular get-togethers, not for meetings or interviews, right? Not for interviews. We got that email just recently, somebody asking they need an interview space at a church for one of these big media places. You know what? That's not what we're for. We don't rent the space out. Why? Because what happens in this building, right, is a direct reflection of how we think of God and our respect that we're showing to God. So we don't allow nonsense in here. And I can't control the nonsense if I'm renting the space out. Well, what if we just set rules for it? Yes, people are really good as long as there's rules. People always follow rules. It's like gun control. If there's a law, criminals won't do anything bad. You just got to make it illegal. Also, don't make them pay bail anymore to get out of jail. Also, it's not their fault. So we're, for subjective reasoning purposes, going to let them out easy. Come on now. We need to protect this house. No rental. I mean, we could have sat there and said $1,000 a day. We could have $1,000 a day. You took five. I took five. We put it in our pocket and we sat there and watched it. And nobody would have to know about it, except for God, who knew what we did to his building. Not doing it. Well, can so-and-so get up and read this and speak that? No. We had that at a funeral just recently. And somebody came forward, I would like to read this poem. And I looked at it, and I go, that would be a beautiful poem to be read at the graveside. We got to the graveside, and guess what happened? They didn't read that poem. They read another poem. One I would never have read in this church. And she preached. Long, almost as long as I did. Now that's something. That's something. And I sat there, and somebody sat, because somebody was standing next to me. They saw me do that. And they came up later, and they said, "Did you know she was going to do that?" I go, "They always do that. They always do that." I've been in ministry for a while, called to preach when I was 14, sat next to my pastor for everything he did. Whenever somebody comes up and they says, "I would like to do this," you've always got to kind of believe that maybe they won't. That they've got to, they'll flip the script on you. Especially if they're not members. I'm talking people who are not members coming in. "Can I speak for a little bit?" Makes me nervous. I did that one time here in a church. Had somebody do a special for us. Never going to happen again. Never going to happen again. You always got to trust. And I sat there. I can't remember which one of these seats I was sitting in. I sat down. I go, "You have lost your mind." That's exactly how I felt. I go, "You've lost your... Do you know what you just did? You really got to be careful. Because what happens in the Lord's house is happening in the Lord's house. We don't rent it out. We don't sell stuff here. We don't come to network for stuff." Now listen, if a kid comes up to me with a fundraiser, one of these kids comes up to their son, "I'm going to buy it." You come up to me because your son is selling like timeshares, I'm going to ask you to go away with that. Right? Little kid comes up, you know, with Charlie. Charlie was selling jam this year. Was it jelly or jam? Jelly. Either way, I had that's fine. Little kid comes up, "I'm selling chocolate for this." Or, "Oh man, if you've got Little Caesars pizza kits, put me down for 2 boxes. Those things, you put them in the freezer, they'll last forever." Right? Go ahead, just don't even add. I told the kids in our church, because our pastor wouldn't let that stuff come in or out. So I just sat there and said, "Hey, listen, you ever come and you're selling this or this, put me and Sister Roland down for 2 of them, right? Don't even ask. Just come up and say, 'This is what I'm doing. This is how much you owe me.' It's a done deal." There's a difference between that and people making a business in the church. We've talked about that before. Business in the church, ugly, ugly, ugly. I've never seen it come out without somebody getting hurt. "Well, we thought it was okay. If I shook the church upside down, I'm going to find one person got hurt out of it." I really am. We need to keep things clear. What are we here for? We are here for the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Now, if you've got a truck and Brother so-and-so wants to buy your truck and y'all handle that between yourselves, that's fine. But we're not starting businesses out of this church. Right? We're not doing stuff based off of the membership. I want to clarify, if 2 people in the church want to start a business, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the members of this church being integral to you doing business. No, thank you. We don't do that here. We don't hurt people like that. All right, so we're not here for commerce. Then what must we be for? Well, I've said it time and time again, Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." We are here for the Great Commission. That is what we are here for. And in that, we see the breaking down of it, the preaching of the gospel from the pulpit, in the community, in our friend and family circles. The baptizing of believers, bringing them in, putting them in that water. And then what? Teaching them. Now I'm going to say this, part of teaching, part of the Great Commission is the edification of the church members. So in my opinion, when we're over here eating cake and ice cream, we're building each other up. I'm thankful for you. Thank God for you. Right? We're not elevating you up higher than your spot. We're just glad for you. When we have fellowships together, conferences, meals, dinners, things like that, we're edifying each other, building each other up. Those are good things. But when I open the door and I start ringing the dinner bell and say, "Oh, look how wonderful we are," that's when we got a problem. When we're doing it for advertising instead of outreach, then we've got ourselves a problem. We're teaching in this church. And there are some things that can take place in this church or in this building that could distract from those things. I know a church one time had a vending machine on the outside. For some dumb reason, became a distraction. Why would a vending machine outside become a distraction? Because sinners made it a distraction. Brother so-and-so had ate my quarter. Middle of the the service, going over to Brother So-and-so, hey, listen, your machine. Serious? We would really love to be in the preaching service. We would really love to be here for the sermon, but we've got to prepare for what happens after the sermon when we're giving out the eggs and the things to the kids. Now, we'll just go to the Lord and say, Father, what's more important? The third step of the Great Commission or handing out candy? The third step of the Great Commission or making sure the parking lot and the coffee ministry, right? It's the preaching. It's the preaching. We get comments every now and then. I know I've got to be done, but we were supposed to have a business meeting and we're not, so I'm taking advantage. We get people every now and then. That's a big screen TV for the fellowship hall. What do you put on there? What's going on in the auditorium? Why? Because it's the most important thing we're doing. People make fun of me for enjoying the sound system back there a little bit too much, but what's the purpose of the way that it's set up? It really is a fantastic system. We can pump whatever's going on in here out there. Why? Because it's the main thing we're doing. It is the preaching, the teaching, and the edifying of the saints that we are doing in this church. It is the preaching of the gospel, baptizing the elect, and then growing the church spiritually. That is our goal. Can we do other things? Yes, we can go to camp. Yes, we can have fellowships with other churches. Yes, we can have Bible conferences and go do Bible conferences. Yes, we can have picnics. Yes, we can have fun days with the kids. But what is the main thing? The Great Commission. And we put a solid wall between that and anything that would distract from it. This is the business of the church. This is what we must be about. Anything else can not only be a distraction, but become disastrous. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, your house ought to be a house that is sanctified unto you. Father, we've had much giggling, much joy, much excitement in this building. We've had joy and excitement among each other in other people's houses. And Father, we know that that is okay. But Lord, help us never to stray into the areas of things that are distractions. Lord, where we become circus clowns entertaining the area or people trying to raise money with fundraisers or things like that. Lord, help us always to be holy in your house. Help us, Lord, to be right with our behavior. And Lord, if ever we were to stray, Lord, chasten us, bring us right back. Help what happens in this house to always be what brings you honor and glory and nothing else. Help us to treat it with respect, not to tear it up, not to leave trash around, to not let messes stay for too long. But Lord, be diligent and be well, because Father, how we treat this house is how we're respecting you. And Lord, you deserve all the respect we can muster. You deserve all the devotion that we can possibly give. So help us, Lord, every day. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.